Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Another episode Talking with TD. You are now officially Talking with TD. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Got a great show for you this week. Going to talk to Chris Sanders, former Tennessee Titans / Oilers receiver. Going to talk a little shop with him. And we're going to bring in a guy who I admittedly have underreported on, and that's Dalen Dawkins, running back for the Titans. He's a guy I know the coaching staff is very fond of. So we got a great show. And speaking of running backs, Derrick Henry, the king, as they call him, El Tractorcito, also known as, well, he got paid, right? So we're looking at a four-year, $50 million deal, $25.5 million guaranteed. Hey, I think that's a team-friendly deal. It's better. Now, I projected 4 years, $54 million. I had $39.2 million guaranteed, so I was a bit off on the guaranteed money. But, you know, it's a great deal for the Titans. When you look at where it ranks as far as the existing deals for running backs, Christian McCaffrey is first, 4 years, $64 million with $38 million guaranteed. He was 24 years old when he signed the deal. 1,000 guy. It's understandable. And then after that, you have Ezekiel Elliott, 6 years, $90 million, $28 million guaranteed. He was also 24 when he signed the deal. And then you have Le'Veon Bell, who was 26, 4 years, $52.5 million with $27 million guaranteed. But we know Le'Veon Bell, in essence, is a wide receiver as well as running back. So I get how all of this happened. It's a great deal for the Titans. I think when you look at the big picture, it sends a message to that locker room. It lets that locker room know that, you know what, you put your head down, you work hard, you be team first, you produce, you do things the right way, you're going to get paid for it. And I'll say this, Arthur Smith, a rookie offensive, first-year offensive coordinator, over almost $200 million in contracts were signed after the production these guys had in his offense. So Arthur Smith definitely gets a tip of the cap. Like he is, you know he won't accept credit for it because that's just how Arthur Smith is. He will deflect the credit. But that's just further emphasizes the team first deal. I mean, you know what happened with Tannehill, 4 years, $118 million. So I think it's just a really good situation for the Titans. Going forward, this team is in awesome shape because the Henry deal is not one that's going to crush the team salary cap-wise. I mean, they could still go out and get Jadeveon Clowney if they want. I mean, that's something you have to take note of. So, you know, the whole concept of not paying the running back, I think it obviously doesn't apply to Derrick Henry. The Titans don't feel it does. And the thing that I give them credit for, all along, this is what they said was going to happen. And there were reports, and up until this week, you know, I was fully confident that the deal was going to get done. There were reports that it wasn't going to happen. And so last night in some of my prep work, you know, I'm getting it together. I'll be honest, I was very critical of the Titans, you know, with the understanding that the deal wouldn't get done. But John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, they stuck to their word. And now you have a team that, hey, they're going to run it back not only this year, but next year too. So that's a really good situation. And they'll continue to evolve. And the thing that this also does, it gives them more draft flexibility. Because if they would have had Henry play on the tag this year and next year, A, you're risking a holdout next year, and then B, you're going to have to draft a running back early. And Travis Etienne is a guy I know that you're fond of as well. Out of Clemson, you know, he's someone that would probably have warranted a first at the very latest or second round pick. So the Titans did a good job in making that deal happen. Before we go to a break, I want to make sure you guys know iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, make sure you subscribe. After you subscribe, rate, review, always open to feedback. Prefer the positive kind, but hey, listen, no one's immune from criticism. I'm willing to accept it. So if you have something that you would suggest the show continue to work on or evolve or incorporate, definitely make it known. I appreciate each of you guys for tuning in, and girls for that matter. And we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back to talk more Derrick Henry. That's right. You heard what Meph said, man. Cash rules everything around me. That's actually what Derrick Henry has to be singing now. You know what I mean? Either that or it's all about the Benjamins. Or, hey, I got your money by Old Dirty. Something.
That's the Titans to Derrick Henry. John Robinson to Derrick Henry. Just sent him that,
yeah,
that clip right
baby,
there.
Baby, I got your money.
Don't you worry.
4 years, $50 million. 25.5 million guaranteed. Elijah, what do you think of this deal? What does this say?
I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't in Ezekiel Elliott range, just because that's what the market would have called for, because Derrick Henry was more productive than Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott had the contract first, and that's in the $19 million per year range. Knowing who Derrick Henry's agent is, Jimmy Sexton is usually good at getting his clients, you know, what at least what they deserve and what they feel like they deserve. So I'm a little surprised that it is the way it is. The years don't surprise me. I think if you're going to sign anyone long-term, 4 years is perfectly fine. And getting half of that guaranteed is nice too, because it still obviously incentivizes him to keep going and keep playing, to earn everything in that contract. I'm just, I guess at the most part, I'm surprised at how team-friendly it is. I know you've alluded to it, you know, when we were off air, but this really doesn't handicap the Titans in any way, shape, or form. It's not like the Rams, like they did with Todd Gurley, where they totally handcuffed themselves to the running game, and then you're not able to replenish your receiving core or tight end, you know, or your other arsenal of weapons if one goes down. And we saw that when they lost Brandon Cooks. They lost a big part of their offense. They weren't getting much out of Todd Gurley, and the Rams' offense wasn't anywhere near what it was the year before they signed Todd Gurley to that contract. And I like to use the Rams as an example, because they have kind of handcuffed themselves to the contracts of their quarterback and their running back specifically. So really, it's low risk for the Titans. And I'm actually surprised that they were able to, A, get it done as close as they did. They flirted with the deadline, flirted pretty hard with it. And awesome. I mean, I think this is as close to the buzzer as it gets when it comes to deadlines and contract signings. But I'd like to give a tip of the cap to John Robinson, because not only does he have the money for Derrick Henry, the money that he deserves, but he also will still have salary cap room to, I don't know, do something crazy, like maybe sign Jadeveon Clowney if it gets a little closer to the time and nobody's still, you know, willing to pay top dollar for him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It is very team friendly, man. John Robinson, he's like Reggie Miller at the buzzer, man.
Yeah.
That's really the clutch coming through for the Titans. I think it was a great move. Now, while it's a great move, I think we have to understand that it's an absolutely necessary move. And here's why. You look at just the way this offense specifically is structured. Derrick Henry, he's a large part of it. We've discussed 69% going into the Chiefs game during the postseason. 30% of their offense. Now, if you look, that's the fourth most out of all NFL players as far as the percentage of offense. In front of them is only Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, and Leonard Fournette. But if you look at number five is Dalvin Cook, and then six, Michael Thomas, seven, Le'Veon Bell, eight, Aaron Jones, nine, Joe Mixon, 10, Kenyon Drake, and it keeps going. Saquon Barkley, 11. Austin Eckler, 12. Ezekiel Elliott, 13. Phillip Lindsay, 14. And Chris Carson, 15. So what does this tell you? The running backs are a huge part of offenses. The one omission, though, Chiefs, and they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Another omission, the 49ers. But if you look collectively, if you added up all the running backs, okay, there's reasoning to that. I'm curious what if you added up all the Chiefs running backs, where they would come in too. Obviously, most of their offense comes from Kelce and Tyreek Hill by way of Patrick Mahomes. But nevertheless, we're talking about a nice collection, and Derrick Henry is right there, number four, 30% of the offense. And then if you look at touches, Derrick Henry touched the ball. So one out of every, just under every five, just over every four times the Titans were on offense, Derrick Henry was touching the football. Mm-hmm. This is a position, when you look at the production, it just absolutely had to be paid. 303 rushing attempts, averaged 5 yards, 5.1 per attempt. 1,540 yards, 16 touchdowns. Aaron Jones tied him for the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. I don't think there's really much more that he needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, he really, especially in the playoffs, kind of, you know, definitely showed his worth. And who knows where the Titans would be if it wasn't for a couple of those bigger runs that he had late in the Patriots game to extend drives, or in the Ravens game to set up the play action, as you like to refer to the Khalif Raymond play, that was instrumental in winning that game. And that really kind of, I think, was the play that, I don't want to say sealed it, but pretty much put the Titans in control. The running game for a lot of teams is big. It's just not as important as it is to the Titans. I don't know if there's really any other team in the NFL who center their offense around handing the ball off to someone. I'm not going to say using the running back, because the Panthers use Christian McCaffrey a lot differently than the Titans use Derrick Henry. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is almost like a wide receiver as well, and a lot of the guys on that list are really good at doing both things, like Austin Eckler. I'm almost convinced that Austin Eckler had more receptions than he did carries at times. I mean, they basically used him as their number one receiver outside of Keenan Allen.
He was a great find.
A great find. And that's another thing about running backs too, is that a lot of times you can get those bargain bin players, and that's one of my favorite things about the running back position. Even though it is devalued, you're still able to – there's a small, like, expendability thing with some running backs, and I'll use the Chargers as that example, because Melvin Gordon was probably on this list 1 or 2 years ago, you know. And once he decided not to come back, they're able to get an Austin Eckler and maybe tweak some things a little bit, because you're not going to give him the ball out of the backfield the same volume you would Melvin Gordon. But they were still able to replace that kind of production. You just got to get a little creative offensively. Would the Titans have been able to figure something out? I think they could have, but they would have had the difference between them and, like, the Chargers is they would have had to have a more dramatic change to their offense and to their offensive personnel to make up for the loss of Derrick Henry, whereas Derrick Henry already has this offense built around him in general. You just kind of make your job easier retaining the person or the player that you decided to build around.
Well, a part of that personnel change that would have to happen, and listen, I'll be the first to tell you, Ryan Tannehill was not solely a product of Derrick Henry's rushing attack, and Henry wasn't a product of Ryan Tannehill. But when you have balance, I think both guys are in very good situations. So that being said, if you want to use the Chargers example, I don't think it will work because Phillip Rivers is a volume passer.
Gunslinger.
Like, he's always been a volume passer. Of course, now, right, a lot of turnovers come with that. We'll see what happens in Indy, but he's going to be behind a strong offensive line. But that's a different conversation. Getting back to Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, he's that guy that it's like comparing a rocket launcher to a .22. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you could use a .22 and you could pop, 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 pop. Like you could shoot something up. But that rocket launcher, you shoot it one time and it explodes.
They're two totally different weapons used in different situations.
And this is what Tannehill has evolved into, literally a rocket launcher, where you only have to do certain shots.
Right.
You mentioned the Raymond and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. You look at the Raven game against the touchdown against the Colts. You look at the deep shot he threw to A.J. Brown against the Raiders. You look at the one against the Texans here at Nissan Stadium. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times to be an effective passer. Ryan Tannehill can give you on 25 attempts, you know, he'd give you 250, 275 yards with three touchdowns and then run the ball a few times, you know, to extend the chain. This is what he brings. So when you have a Derrick Henry always keeping the game close, right, and you have a defense that keeps the game close typically, it all works. It's like tumblers to a lock. You know what I mean? It just keeps working hand in hand, and everything just fits together. That's why it was so essential to sign Derrick Henry to truly, officially run it back.
And on the other side of that coin, too, if you don't bring Derrick Henry back, then you're basically gambling on Ryan Tannehill to recreate the elite production he had last year, which in a smaller sample size, we don't know if he's going to be able to do for an entire season. And that's one of the things that we've had, you know, discussions with on this show and other shows, you know, at the station, is that is Ryan Tannehill's success repeatable? And a lot of it's not, because a lot of the numbers are just astronomical. I mean, they're hard to repeat over the course of a 16-game regular season in the National Football League. But if you weren't to re-sign Derrick Henry, I will say this, is that if you weren't re-signing Derrick Henry, you're banking on Ryan Tannehill to do a lot of that. You would need him to do everything like that, but in higher volume.
Yeah. You're asking him to improve upon a historical season.
Yeah.
His statistics in that stretch, I mean, look, a minimum of 100 pass attempts, I think it was. Only Sammy Ball and Joe Montana have done that before.
Right. Yeah.
So let's not shortchange what Ryan Tannehill did.
But incredible.
Let's not also say that it's automatic that it's going to happen again. It all goes back to the pieces of the puzzle fell into place for them last year. And now they're just putting that puzzle back together again. And it could include more, you know, with an improved season from Jonnu Smith, from Corey Davis. The bright spot with Jonnu Smith is he is a player who saw a boost with Ryan Tannehill. I think really the improvement for this team is going to come with Corey Davis's production. So we'll see what happens there, but it all starts with Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill will tell you that. It's after the Texans game, the season finale, the Texans game, he says it all starts with Derrick Henry and the offensive line.
And it's going to be really important, too, that for Derrick Henry to continue that production, you're going to need Corey Davis, because and your value out of this deal is going to be good, because you can still get something out of Derrick Henry in three years if you don't have to carry the ball 30 times a game.
Yeah, and it what he said was it works from there. Then he talked about how Derrick Henry and that rushing attack, you know, sets up one-on-one matchups on the outside. So it's a great situation for the Titans. They were wise to do this deal with Derrick Henry. Before we go to a break, I want to introduce or give you a teaser on our next guest, because it's someone who averaged more yards than A.J. Brown as a rookie receiver. That's the teaser. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I'm going to let it play just a little bit. Yeah, that's Ghostface, Daytona 500. It's only fitting we use that as our intro music for this segment, because our next guy, he probably could have ran in the Daytona 500 while the other cars drove, you know what I mean? Chris Sanders. Chris, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Hey, them old track days, man, I can put them up and put them down. But right now, if I ran a 40-yard dash, it'd probably run like about a 7.5. That's how old I am right now.
Ooh, that's bad. That's bad. So we'll focus on what you did before, you know, at Ohio State and the 23-yard average for catch as a rookie.
Ohio State University.
Okay. Well, the Ohio State University, you know. Some may call it DBU. I call LSU DBU, but you know, we won't get into all that.
There we go.
But real talk, though, obviously the news for the day,
man.
Actually the news for the week, the news for the offseason probably, is Derrick Henry. The Titans did it. Yeah. They went against the running back, the devaluation of the running back position. Derrick Henry, 4 years, $50 million. $24.5 million guaranteed.
Wow.
Your thoughts?
Man, I think it's huge. I mean, and the reason why I say it's huge is because we always talk about, you know, a team signing a player that fits their identity. And, yeah. and what's the Tennessee Titans' identity? A guy that's smart, a guy that's versatile, a guy that, that has character, a guy that's good in the community, a guy that's a leader in the locker room, a guy that's a leader on the field. You have all that in Henry. So it's just good that the J-Rob and Mike Vrabel really signed Derrick Henry because you shows that they were committed to Derrick the whole time, even though it didn't look like they were going to sign him, even though it was 2 hours away, you know, that they weren't going to sign him. All the time, they knew that Derrick Henry was their guy. And I'm so glad they got it done. I'm glad they got the numbers right. And it's feasible for everybody. I mean, you know, Derrick isn't a guy that's saying, I want $75 million and $80 million. He said, no, let me get what's feasible for me. And also, that's what's going to help the team.
Yeah, I mean, the deal is more than team friendly. And you know what's crazy? They could even, if they want to, they could still go after Clowney if they want to.
Exactly.
When you look – go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, but it just shows you how unselfish Derrick Henry is. I mean, Derrick Henry had the leverage of, hey, I just won the rushing record or won the rushing title this year. I can just kind of have an attitude of I want more money. But it just shows you the character of this guy to say, you know what, let me get my money, but also be feasible and help the team. And you made a great point. They can use some of that other money to sign Clowney. Outstanding.
And it's crazy because, you know, you look at what he did in the postseason. Up until that Chiefs game, he was 69% of the offense.
Wow.
For the year, he was 30% of the offense. It was very clear. And he was 43% of their snaps. Like, it's so clear that this guy has a huge impact. But then when you see him do the stuff he does off the field, whether it be going into Burlington Coat Factory and buying out the layaway section for everyone during Christmas time, or just standing up there and every time he rushes for $150, he's saying, well, it's not about me, it's about my offensive line. Everything was done right. You see his work ethic, what he's posting on social media. So when you see all of that happen, the guy produces, and then he gets rewarded. As a player in that locker room, what does that say to you?
I mean, that is huge because we always talk about, you know, is the team committed to me? And we just saw J-Rob and we saw Mike Vrabel say, you know what, look at the body of work that you've done. I know you started off slow in your first couple of years, but, you know, we're going to look past that. The last couple of years, what you did for us, it shows that you care. And I think J-Rob and Mike Vrabel say, you know what, we're going to be committed to you. And the thing about it is, I think the fans and me were a little nervous because it came down to the last couple of hours. But I think Mike Vrabel and J-Rob knew in their mind that there was their guy. Because just like what you said, what, 30% of the offense during the season and then 69% in the postseason, that's a workhorse. That's a guy to say, you know, we're depending on you. And it just shows you that him getting compensated shows that the Tennessee Titans care and want to build off of this guy.
When you have a guy like that, because some of your analytics folks or, you know, people who I'll just say just in general, some people will say the running game isn't important and how good your running game has nothing to do with how impactful play action is. But you see Ryan Tannehill, his percentage went up to, 76% on play action, and it went up to 13.6 or something like that yards per completion on play action. How much does Derrick Henry factor into that kind of stats?
I mean, you know what? CD is huge because when you have the running game going on and it's doing outstanding, it makes everybody better. And when I say makes everybody better, look at when they played the Oakland Raiders. They're at the 10-yard line or inside the 10-yard line. They fake it to Henry. Who they throw the bomb to? A.J. Brown, touchdown. Look at in the playoffs when they're playing Baltimore. Baltimore's sucking up on the run and trying to stop Derrick Henry. They show the play fake. Who they throw the ball to? Raymond. 45-60-yard touchdown. So it just shows you when you have a good running game, it's going to open up things and makes everybody better. Give you an example, 1999, when we was on our road to the Super Bowl, who was toting the rock for us? Big 2-7. 2-7 was toting the rock. So now you got 2-7 that's toting the rock, who's running through people's faces. And now all of a sudden you got those safeties creeping up. Now I got one-on-one outside with me, Derek Mason, Frank Wycheck, and now that gives us a chance to make plays as opposed to going against zone. We're going man-to-man. So all we got to do is beat our guy. So the running game opens up everything, and it makes everybody better. And that's exactly what we're seeing with Henry in this offense.
And I think that's why, in this case, the running back has to be paid. And the Titans absolutely did the right thing by giving a player a deal because he earned the deal. So by signing him to that deal, they absolutely did the right thing.
But you know what I'm more impressed about Derrick Henry is when he first got in the league, you know, he started off kind of slow and everybody was talking about how soft he was and he was running side to side and he kept dancing and he couldn't hit the hole and not running over people and saying he was a big guy and he couldn't run through nobody's face. I love that he overcame the adversity.
Mm-hmm.
He overcame the adversity. And I love stories like that. You know, he overcame adversity when Eddie George sat him down and talked to him. He looked him face to face without a tic-tac and said, listen, dude, I understand you're a big guy. I understand you went to Alabama. I understand you bench press over 450 pounds. I understand that. But I need you to run through somebody's face. And when he got that edge and when he got that tenacity and when he got that oomph that I'm going to run through somebody's face, it just built confidence, not just in him. It built confidence in the offensive coordinator. It built confidence in the wide receivers because they knew if we give the ball to 22, something special is going to happen.
And that's really every time they needed a big play, it was Derrick Henry stepping up and making that happen. I think the best example of that was the Ravens game, right?
No doubt.
Even the Patriots game, there were just various runs that he had to just, all right, you know what? Time to cancel Christmas. That's what the home team was saying. It's just great that they signed him this deal. Just as far as moving forward, how do you see this offense progressing? Do you feel like they will get away from the 300-plus carries, or do you think 300 carries is on the docket for Henry this year as well?
I think he's forgetting his carries, but I think the offense is going to be more balanced.
Yeah.
Balanced. And when I say more balanced, that means a lot of guys are going to get involved. You got Jonnu Smith, who's coming to his own, who had a great a game against Baltimore with that one-hand catch. Then you got A.J. Brown, who's coming to his own, who had over 1,000 yards. You got Corey Davis, who everybody's overlooking. And then you got Raymond. You got all these weapons. It's going to open up so many things for so many people. So now you got the running game. Now you got the passing game. Now Arthur Smith, all he got to do is say, you know what, I got all these toys here, buddy. Let me just go ahead and use guys in different ways according to their ability. So I think this offense is going to be, you know, still run heavy first, but still allow other guys to make plays.
So what about Corey Davis, right? Because now he's going to be the guy that isn't drawing Jair Alexander, Trey Davis White, et cetera. He's in the final year of his deal. They didn't pick up the option. So if you had Corey Davis, you guys are at a coffee shop, and you know he's like, OG, man, I need what can you tell me? What would you say to him?
Go get it. And sometimes, you know, when we go through adversity, you got two choices: to get better or get bitter. And the one thing I would tell him is, hey, you should go out there and set the world on fire. You know, I remember, I think it was my third year, they drafted Kevin Dyson and they brought Yancey Thigpen in to come in, you know, basically to try to replace me. So instead of me crying, instead of me pouting, I said, I'm going to play so well that you're going to have to play me. And that's exactly what I did. And then the same thing with Corey Davis. Don't go out there with an attitude of trying to show people. Don't go out there with an attitude of, you know, I'm going to show them that I am a number wide receiver. Just go out there, make plays, have an edge, and show this doggone league that you can be a top 10 wide receiver. And that's how I would tell Corey Davis.
It makes sense. My thing with him is that go get it. Like there are times where that just doesn't show up. And it's unfortunate because he's so talented.
Very talented.
I told him, and I kind of shocked him when I said it. I told him, and this was with Nuke Hopkins, on the Texans, I say, you know, Corey, you're the most talented receiver in this division.
No doubt.
But it's a matter of getting results from that talent. That's a separation between Hopkins and Corey Davis and even T.Y. Hilton, et cetera. But it's just in watching him, it does kind of get frustrated because you know he's so talented, but you don't see the results that talent should warrant.
But look at what happened with Henry this year, right? Remember, or this year or last year, when the media was saying he was running soft and he wasn't hitting the hole and he was dancing around and trying to go side to side. But when you get an Eddie George to talk to him and look him square in the face without a tic-tac and say, dude, you're running soft. And that lit a fire under Henry. somebody in that locker room is going to talk to Corey Davis and say, listen, dude, you're too talented to be a second wide receiver. You're too talented to not to make plays. You're too talented not to go out there and make the plays that you're capable in. And that might light a fire of him being a number one wide receiver, or is with the Titans or with somebody else.
I just wonder who that person could be, because I know in camp you see Coach Rob Moore, who he was a very good player in his own right, but you see him working extensively. I wonder who it's going to take to really just reach in and pull that dog out of him.
Yeah, and I think what happened with me is, you know, when I came in 1995, you know, everybody was telling me what I couldn't do, or you can't do this, you can't do that, whatever, whatever. And there was a guy named Les Steckel who met me in the parking lot, and he said this to me. He said, a lot of people, and this would lit my fire, he said, there's a lot of people that wanted to go with a different wide receiver, but I wanted you. And when Les Steckel said that, when he said that I wanted you, there was an edge that I've never had before. And when I came into that rookie camp, I'm jumping over five people to make the catch. I'm in preseason games catching a hitch and taking it the distance. Why? Because it took someone to say, hey, I believe in you. And if somebody can look Corey Davis in the eye and say, listen, dude, I understand that you didn't have the balls last year. I understand that the last 3 or 4 years have been disappointing, but I believe in you. And when you have somebody that says, I believe in you, hey, dog, I don't care where the ball is. It can be in a concession stand. It can be in the bathroom. It can be on top of the stadium. I'm going to get it. Yeah. That's the kind of edge that he needs. And I think when somebody says that, that's the kind of edge that I believe he can have.
Yeah, there's just something too, and a lot of people don't understand like how much that mental aspect means to athletics, you know. So that's an excellent point. Before we let you go, Ryan Tannehill. All right, so 4 years, $118 million. It is what it is. Now, what do you expect from Ryan Tannehill over the duration of this contract, or even let's just say the next 2 years? Yeah.
You know what I want to see from him is just consistency. I mean, and I'm not saying he had a consistency this year. I just think that when he was with Miami, there were games that he looked like a world beater, but then there was games there where he was inconsistent. So now, you know, last year with the Tennessee Titans, he was exceptional in throwing the ball. He's exceptional from leading his team. He's exceptional by doing the right thing and throwing those deep balls and making those plays. I want to see the same thing that he did last year and do it this year, consistency. So if Ryan Tannehill can come in and have a consistent year, sky's the limit for the Tennessee Titans team.
I agree 100%. And I expect to see more consistency from him.
I just think
last year he just played, and he won't say it, but last year he played with a different mindset. And it's funny because I twisted the question 4 or 5 times and tried to ask it differently. I even asked him, you know, is there a Bible verse? Did everything I could to get him to say his mindset was different, but he would not say it. But you know it was. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. But I appreciate you coming on. We need to do this. We need to do this more often because I love the energy, man. Yeah, we're gonna have to figure something out.
Call it TNC, baby.
TNC. I like it. I like it. Run TNC.
There it is. Run TNC. Come on, man.
We both spoke highly about the importance of running the football, so yeah, that might be the twist.
Run TNC. Come on.
Now
I appreciate you.
Now we just gotta get Mandu to sponsor it, man.
Man, you cold, man. You cold. That's cold, man. That's cold.
I couldn't let it go, man. I got love for you, good brother, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, love you too, man. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank
all right now.
On.
Yeah. All right, we are going to go to the German Performance Options Hotline. I got that Incarcerated Scarfaces on because that's one of those beats that just hits hard. It keeps coming. And you know what? Our next guest, he actually does the same thing. We're going to bring in running back Dalen Dawkins. And one of the things I like about Dalen is just how he plays. He's one of those players. He plays like his ribs are showing, man. There's always a sense of urgency. So, Dalen, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get right into just your relationship with Coach Tony Dews because it's funny, every time I get to chat with Coach Dews, whether it's before practice, pregame, whatever, You know, it just really comes across like he really likes you, man. Is that something that you sensed and you have a relationship developed with him?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have. When I came in, dudes helped me a lot. He was always, just trying to help me get better and, focus on details and stuff like that. And he appreciates me because I've always been real coachable.
It seems like the whole staff, though, they like that sense of urgency that you play with. Where does that develop? Like, how did you get that? Like, why do you play with that edge?
You know what? It's like I learned that at a real young age, playing little league football. My dad coached me. He also played running back as well in college and in NFL. But he taught me how to run the ball in between the tackles at a real young age, and not to be scared to hit the hole. And I was always a smaller guy too, so I learned to be fearless at a young age. So it's always stayed with me.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to get into as well. Your father playing ball, did that kind of like having that those footsteps to following? A guy who went all the way to the league, to the NFL, the highest level. What was that like coming up? Like, was there an extra degree of pressure that you felt placed upon yourself?
There was always, I wouldn't say there was a pressure from that side of it. There was pressure because from the people that said I couldn't do it. And there was always the naysayers. And so I always played with a chip on my shoulder because there was always people like every level I played on. Well, starting from little league, he won't be able to do that on the high school level. Did it on high school level, varsity level. Well, he can't do it on the varsity level. Did it on the varsity level. Well, he can't do it Division I. College football did that too. So, and then, he won't make it to the NFL. Did that too. So,
yeah.
It's
so
it's been like that.
Gotcha. So it's always been like, all right, you say I can't, well, watch me do it. That's the kind of, yeah, I like that, man. And that's the thing that seems to be something that just is a constant in everyone who's successful, right? It's always that I'm going to show you that I could do what you say I can't. One of the things that also kind of stood out in your profile, obviously, we got to talk about Uncle Brian, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And a lot of people don't know that B-Doc is your uncle, man. And I know that had to be something that was really interesting because he's so intense at all times. So what was that like having him, be that someone in your ear or just a presence as far as you growing up was concerned?
It was cool anytime I had him come out to – anytime he was available to come out to my high school games. And he was definitely in my corner. I would say back in high school, I remember even though we played two different positions, I would watch his highlight videos before one of my football games, because it got me going, and he was just so fun to watch.
Interesting story about your uncle and one of your teammates, actually, Kevin Byard. I talked to him because he was a quarterback in high school, and then he converted to safety. But one of the guys that he watched and really he attributes a lot of his leadership skills to is none other than your uncle, B-Doc, man. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that is.
But speaking of the Titans and just you have kind of found your way, like you made your way into the roster from a guy who was undrafted, obviously, on the roster, off the roster, on the roster again. What would you say was the biggest thing that allowed you to keep pushing and always put that best foot forward to eventually be a member of the team, the actual 53 man?
Sticking to it, sticking with it, and just waiting for my time, just continue to do hard work. Don't ignore all the negativity outside, and just focus on myself and helping my team get better. I think that's the key. Hard work really is the key.
Yeah, yeah. Hard. One of my coaches used to always say, he had a deep voice. He'd be like, hard work, big dividends. That's what he used to tell us all the time, man. Just in watching you in practice, you know, there's a lot of interaction, obviously, with Derrick Henry. But Deion Lewis, it seemed like a lot of times Deion was the first guy to go in drills. How much was having a guy like Deion, just similar in stature and everything, how much has he helped you in your career so far?
And not only just because he's a smaller guy as well, but really because he has so much experience already. You know, yeah. I definitely was picking at his brain whenever I could. I learned a lot from Deion.
What would you say are the top two things that you were able to pull from him?
Like some specific drills. Specific drills and basically learning defenses.
Yeah.
Learning defenses, for sure.
Spin it back to your dad. You know, you said that he taught you how to hit those holes and you know, have that sense of urgency. When you're running zone scheme, you don't always have to play with that. You can't always play with that sense of urgency, right? Because you got to string it out and look for that cutback. Was that something that took a little bit for you to get used to?
You know what? But as soon as I got to the college level, you know, it was more of a, I had to learn how to press the hole. What we would call like pressing the line,
yeah,
before making that cut. And
yeah.
I had to learn how to do that because if I saw a daylight, I'll be trying to hit it right then and there. So I learned at Colorado State to press the line, and then it happens, you know, just learning how to, the blocking schemes and stuff and how those are going helps a lot. And then, so when I got to the NFL, it was easy for me.
And we're talking to Dalen Dawkins, Titans running back. So now that it has become easy for you and you are a guy who is projected, like I did my roster projections, I got you in there. You know what I'm saying? So now that you're at that point, what are you doing to improve? Like, what are you looking to improve upon and just to sharpen as far as your skill set's concerned?
I want to focus on literally everything, really. I want to shoot. Yeah, I can run the ball real well, but I'm focusing on that, knowing defenses, pass protection, receiving skills, running routes, all that stuff. I want to be able to do it all. I do believe I'm able to do it all.
Where have you been working out? Have you worked out with any teammates or any other guys in the league?
When I was in Nashville, I had some workouts with some of the guys on the team. So we did some routes and stuff like that. Done that a couple times.
Nice.
And then back at home, I'm really not in South Carolina. I've been working out with my brother and stuff at the house.
Okay. So you're staying ready. That's a good thing. And then to match that from a mental, from a classroom standpoint, how did the OTAs, the virtual OTAs and mini camp, how did that experience treat you? Were you able to pull some things out of there?
It was definitely different, but it was good because we still was able to go over our plays and the details and still just sit down and really focus on the mental side.
How was Coach Arthur Smith? And did you feel like he was taking charge a little bit more than he did before? Like, have you seen a progression as far as him as an OC?
Oh yeah, Coach always done a good job.
Yeah,
he's always done a good job.
I guess
he's always done a good job.
As a guy who was a former tight ends coach, you know, it seems like he makes sure that his tight ends get the ball, but he relies so much on that running game. How much does that you know, appeal to a guy like yourself?
I love being able to run the ball.
Yeah.
So I love to see. I love Derek. Love watching Derek get the ball. Love seeing that smash mouth football.
Yeah, for sure.
But it also opens up everything. You know, it always, you know, allows us to throw the ball and make big plays that way too.
Excellent point. And it shows on game day. You see that with the play action, and you see how they stack the box, and that gets A.J. Brown the one-on-one, Corey Davis one-on-one outside, and they could take advantage of it. Other thing I wanted to get into just really quickly, you're getting to that point where, you know, where just under 2 weeks from the projected start of training camp. Obviously, this pandemic, like, it's huge, right? It's impacting every aspect of our lives. How are you mentally getting prepared to go into this situation? I mean, is there any concerns or anything like that?
My only concern is hoping that everything doesn't get delayed.
Yeah.
That's really my only concern, is really just hoping we're able to play ball again. That's really my main concern. But I know we got to do it in a safe way, find a safe way to do it. And so hopefully we're able to do that.
And you're one of those guys, if you look at the preseason, right, you're one of those guys that, in a normal circumstance, four games, you're going to get plenty of opportunities to continue to show what you could do. When you saw that two games were taken away, obviously, you know, you're part of NFLPA, so you want to go with everything. But is there just like a, daggone, man, like, you're taking away my shot to really show what I could do. Is there any thoughts like that?
There would have been definitely – Two years ago, my rookie year and last year, but this year, I'm just, it does, I do feel for the guys coming in, like the rookies, because that's major.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at the same time, we got to do it in a safe way, like play the game in a safe way.
So there's a higher degree of confidence going into this year for you than previous years.
Yeah, most definitely.
There you go. You got to play confidently. So last thing I want to go over with you is just, what are you expecting from this year? Let's say everything goes normal. Well, as close to normal as possible. You have a 16-game season. But what are some of the things that you're looking to accomplish as a Tennessee Titans running back?
I want to help my team the best way I can. And, you know, I hope we get off to a good start, great start. And I want to do everything I can to help us win and be the best that I could be.
Gotcha.
Just help my team create explosive plays and help juice the sideline.
I like that. And just one other thing from a leadership perspective, because – now, you know, you got the rookie Darrington Evans coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You and Derek, you guys are the veteran running backs. So do you feel a different type of, not pressure, but type of inspiration to be a leader since you're one of the veteran guys in the room?
Yeah, I definitely want to show other guys how things are and how it's done the right way to do things and how to carry yourself as a pro.
There you
go. So I definitely look forward to doing that.
There you go. That's what you need, man. Folks, Dalen Dawkins, running back, Tennessee Titans. Dalen, I appreciate you coming on. And, man, I tip my cap, man. That sense of urgency, like I said, you play like your ribs are showing, and that's something that anybody that loves football, they appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
For sure, man. Take it easy.
All right.
Yo, stand on the block, Avalanche rock. Keep that woo going. That's right. That's Raekwon the Chef, Glaciers of Ice. And I tell you what, man, when you look at ice, right, Derrick Henry, he's going to be able to stockpile a lot of that, right? A lot of ice. But no, I just wanted to crack that joke, man, and make sure that we kept the Wu-Tang theme going. And the next thing that we're going to talk about before we wrap it up is just the Madden ratings. And, you know, the $50 million man, he came in at a pretty good spot in the Madden ratings. It's an annual rite of passage. Mm-hmm. So let's get into that. Lo and behold, Derrick Henry is the number two ranked running back on Madden. He's the top ranked player on the Titans at a 93. Christian McCaffrey is officially a part of the 99 club, but thought it was pretty cool they gave Derrick Henry a good rating like that.
93, that's really, really good. Crazy the gap, I guess, between one and two is as well. Hard to be in that exclusive 99 club, but good for Derrick Henry. That's awesome. I assume it's probably the highest he's had. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, of course. You know, after coming off of that season. Mm-hmm. Now, just looking at it, just to break down the comp, McCaffrey to Henry. McCaffrey has 92 speed. Henry has 91. The acceleration is where the difference was. 93 for McCaffrey, 88 for Derrick Henry. However, if you look at some of the other things like strength and agility, there's a difference there. Strength, obviously, is going to go to Derrick Henry. It's 87 as compared to a 72, but agility, 97 compared to an 84. We all know mm-hmm. that Christian McCaffrey runs routes like a receiver, thousand club. So it's very clear and obvious why he was paid that money. Now, another thing that I really liked about the rating is the stiff arm, and Kevin Byard endorsed it. He said that the 98 stiff arm should be 99 because it's one of the best all time. But Henry leads the all backs in stiff arm, 98. And then you have Alvin Kamara, 92, Le'Veon Bell, 91, Chris Carson, 91, and James Conner at 90. And then I thought it was Ezekiel Elliott at 89. But then when you look at the overall ratings, the top 10, it goes McCaffrey, 99, Henry, 93, Nick Chubb, 92, Ezekiel Elliott, 92, Saquon Barkley, 91. Now, I got a problem with that.
I got a big problem with that. Yeah.
I don't think there's any way Barkley should be ranked behind Nick Chubb. I think Chubb should go down to fifth, and Zeke and Saquon should be right. Like McCaffrey, Zeke, Saquon, and Henry, that should all be the mix. But then you got Dalvin Cook at 90. Aaron Jones, a guy who I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is. Mm-mm. He's a 90. Joe Mixon at 89. You got Josh Jacobs, the young stunner, at 88, and Alvin Kamara at 88.
Wow.
I'll tell you what's also very intriguing about this. Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara. You know what they all have? And Nick Chubb is, I believe, Chubb too. You know what they all have in common?
Pending free agency.
Yes, sir. That's pretty cool. We're going to see what happens there. But I definitely like how they gave love to the running backs in this. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, running backs, they should be a part of the equation. And unfortunately, you see a lot of devaluing going on with them.
Yeah, and there's, I guess, a lot of numbers and some unfortunate precedent, too, because, like, we're not talking about the running backs getting devalued if Todd Gurley maybe doesn't get hurt or doesn't decline. There's the precedent of a lot of some of these contracts that have aged badly has unfortunately made it hard. But I'm like you. I like how Madden did the running back ratings, with the exception of Saquon Barkley going below Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's a top five running back. I think he deserves a spot at the table, but let's not forget what Saquon Barkley did with an uncertain quarterback situation and being one of the few running backs in the NFL whose offense relies solely on them. And then Alvin Kamara getting bumped below Joe Mixon and being on the same as Josh Jacobs might be a little rude. I know Alvin Kamara at the end of last year kind of underperformed, but he's also playing on essentially one ankle that was healthy. He did have some health problems last year that kind of limited him a little bit, and Latavius Murray playing as well as he did kind of took some share of the carries away. But I still have a hard time seeing some other of those running backs better than Kamara because of Kamara's catching ability. But that's my only real gripes with that. I think they got it right for the most part.
You want to take a guess at the top-rated rookie running back?
Top-rated rookie running back. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins, okay. Yeah.
Even though Edwards-Helaire was the first back taken, and he was a guy I thought the Titans should strongly consider,
mm-hmm.
but J.K. Dobbins was a 75. Edwards-Helaire and DeAndre Swift are 74. Excuse me. Darrington Evans comes in at 69, but 92 speed, 91 acceleration, and 91 athleticism. So I think it's safe to say we could expect some big plays from him and some of the other guys in the backfield, whether it be Dalen Dawkins, our guest today on Talking with TD, and the new multi-millionaire, Derrick Henry. So, obviously, a lot of good news this week for the Titans. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned because we're going to keep rocking. Again, thank you. God bless and good night.